Welcome to the Pathways podcast from the American Society for Cell Biology. I'm your host, Mary Spiro, and today's focus is on cell biology education. Today, I'm speaking with Nathan Reyna, a professor from Ouachita Baptist University, located in Arkansas. He is the principal investigator on a National Science Foundation-funded project called the Cell Biology Education Consortium. Professor Reyna was also the first person to win ASCB's new Innovation in Education Award in 2021. Welcome, Professor Reyna.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So before we get into what the Cell Biology Education Consortium is, tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got interested in cell biology or biology in general at first.
You know, it's kind of interesting. So I'm actually a plant biologist and I teach at a small school. So Ouachita has 1,500 students. We've always been wanting to do cures, but at some point I got into a research grant and it was cell culture based and I couldn't do cell culture. And I had to figure out a way to start doing these things. And as a result, we started making these videos really to teach me how to do cell culture. And it just sort of built from there.
Yeah, because plant cells grow in a structure. They don't grow in a culture, a jar, a dish.
Yeah, I'm used to growing pots. I had lights. You know, I just got rid of all my pots and lights and grow rooms and all that. Completely different than growing cancer cells in media for those things. The other issue was for us at a small school, how do we do research and how do we keep doing these things? And so that's a big part of implementation of our project is how to get small schools involved and really how to be able to do some real authentic research.
How big is Ouachita?
We got 1,500 students. Biology makes up about 25 to 30% of campus. Only have 5.5 faculty and half is a dean. And so, you know, I pretty much teach a lot. I teach 12 hours. My cell biology class has between 35 and 45 students every fall.
And is that a four-year institution?
It's a four-year institution.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really small.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're in rural Arkansas. Yep.
Well, it sounds exciting. I really want to get more into the consortium, but I first want to kind of back up a little bit because before the consortium, you were the PI on a project called Arkansas Cure. Now that's C-U-R-E. Tell me about this project and explain to our listeners what a cure is, because I know you've already mentioned it once.
So a cure is a course-based undergraduate research experience. And what I found at Ouachita was, you know, how do we make our kids stand up? I'm at a school where people can't pronounce my name. I'm in rural Arkansas and no one's ever heard of us. And so how do we have our kids stand out when they go apply for jobs or they go apply for summer research experiences? And so we put in these cures, these course-based research experiences. Instead of having one or two kids doing research, I can now have all my students be doing research. And the first one was based on synthetic biology. And so we follow the IGEM model, which is the International Genetic Engineering Machine Competition that started at MIT. And so we made many IGEM teams. And what we realized is that other groups want to do that. It was built off what Malcolm Campbell did for GCAT for many years. And we put the pedagogy into what Malcolm was doing and just sort of worked it out. And AR Cure, in 4 years, we brought 75 faculty to fly to Ouachita from all over the US. We now have a published lab manual so others can go. It's an open education resource. It's free for everyone to use. It's published on LibriText. And now we're involved with IGEM. I'm flying to Paris this year to get to go to IGEM and be part of their education team.
That's super exciting. And it really sounds like that your university has, you know, it's small, but it really sounds like you've almost built a bespoke research education experience for undergrads.
It is. And again, that's how we stand out, you know, and people always worry and wonder, how does my kids or how does my school get recognized?
So you've kind of explained it a little bit, but where did the idea for the Cell Biology Education Consortium come from? And what problem does it solve? Now, you sort of started to explore that, but you've also mentioned, I noticed on your website, you mentioned there's research that undergrads need research experiences too.
So, you know, I got this grant and then we got AR Cure. And then we watched my colleague, Lori Hindley, made these videos and I learned it. So I was really just the test monkey right? If you could teach this plant biologist to do cell culture, surely other people who are better qualified can do these things as well. But the need that we found was the research and education. It seemed like too many groups that were doing this were, it was prescribed. And so I didn't really want to move my ideas to do a different type of research. I want to be very flexible to let people do what they're interested in. And we wanted to show the idea that research should be involved in everything the students do, in the classroom, out of the classroom, a seamless translation back and forth, whatever we're doing. And students need to be incorporated in every aspect of it.
I can tell you that I certainly would have benefited from an undergraduate research experience in my days at the University of Maryland. That was a big campus, and I guess there were experiences out there. I just didn't know how to tap into them.
It's hard. It's hard to find. And when you put them in the class, more people can do it. And so, you know, there's a lot of good schools, big schools that are now doing it at the giant level, you know, multiple lab level as well.
Well, I think the problem that I've seen, I used to be also at Johns Hopkins University, mm-hmm. and they, even there, the focus was on graduate students doing research, obviously, but not so much undergrads doing real research where they ended up with their names on papers and things like that. And I know that the problem has always been coordination. So what has been sort of your experience in coordinating the students who really want that research experience?
So first they start in the class, they get excited, and then I take them on in the summer. We look for success in lots of different ways. So papers are success. I've been very lucky at getting some papers, but it all begins in the class, and then we build on that. It doesn't always have to be my personal research that they do in the class. People always think it has to be exactly what you're doing, but it's the essence or the idea that carries forward. The other thing is, you know, now students are creating all the videos. If you go to our YouTube channel, it's all student created. They put that on their resume as sort of a quasi-published, you know, entity of showing what they did. One of my students, her exosome isolation video got picked up by like a trade website on RNA and exosome isolation and news, and they put her cell block on their front page as new information coming out in the field. And so it's really exciting for that.
And that student was a what, junior?
Undergrad? Oh, yeah. She's a sophomore in college.
That's crazy.
You know? And so now she's at doing a great REU program. And it wasn't the only reason she got in, but it was one of those things to make her resume look good.
Yeah, definitely.
But the research is definitely possible. We've now collaborated on multiple projects where we've been able to get students as first or second authors on the publications.
So the consortium offers a system of funding opportunities, vouchers. Can you explain a little bit about what those are for and who uses those?
Yes. And so that's kind of the unique thing. So the RCN can only fund education research. It's not a wet lab type of thing, but again, research and pedagogy development to me are the exact same thing. And so students and faculty can apply and they say, look, there's this research technique that I do that's pretty cool. And we would like to turn that into a cell block. A cell block is a video protocol, a written protocol, and then it has pedagogy notes and ideas. I would do this in the classroom. This takes this many hours. Here's how I would assess it. But the students make the video. And they do it on the research that they're doing for that faculty member. And so now we get two things. We have students present their research, and we have faculty who develop pedagogy, which then adds to the idea. And so we have funding for students and faculty to apply to make new cell blocks. We also want to implement this into the classroom. And so I have funding to help schools who are willing to implement this thing in its entirety to see if it works, help us with that assessment. And then I have funding to send students to go to meetings and stuff like that and present this work. 85 to 95% of the $500,000 that NSF gave me goes to other institutions.
And each of those vouchers are around $3,000. Is that what I read?
So it is $3,000. And we do a reimbursement sort of get away around some of the indirects and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Cell blocks, who came up with that name? And tell me a little bit more about those. You have over 70 videos on on your YouTube channel. Now, those are not all cell blocks, but there may be components of cell blocks, or
they're components, they're ideas. So, you know, we're now doing high school outreach. And so we use the cell block model to make things that high school teachers would use. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, they're all over the place. Students write scripts. They do research over the summer. They write a script on how they would present this, how they would film it. Students then film it. I edit it, act as sort of the director and sort of the producer. And then eventually we've put it on our YouTube channel. Again, we give them credit, authorship notice for that. My colleague, Lori Hensley, came up with cell blocks. We just thought it was kind of a neat idea, and it's modular because the way each cell block is now made is that in the pedagogy, it tells you what cell block you could use above it and which ones you could use below it, which again, allows faculty to mix and match. So people doing transfections can do one way, people doing hypoxia research or exosome research, they can move in a different direction and they can just start stacking these cell blocks like Legos.
What an incredible resource. I mean, for everybody, really.
It's awesome. I mean, it has completely changed my research focus, my research career.
Okay. So you have consortium members. Are they individuals, institutions? How do you become a member? What's that? What's involved?
You know,
there?
All you have to do is join our group. If you go to our website, www.cellbioed.com, there's a join our group. You go to that Google form, you fill it out, and you're a member. And once you become a member, once you do that, that just gives me all the demographic information about your school and who you are. I got to report that to NSF, and then you can apply. Right now, we have 195 registered members from about 150 different institutions worldwide.
And are they mostly smaller or all
over? They're all over.
The place?
So mostly are smaller. I mean, we have two different levels. So when I report to NSF, I talk about my email list, but then I also talk about what I call my core foundation and my working group. And there's about 35 schools that have received funding and have actually done cell blocks and reported back to me. And so those are my main core faculty I work with. And almost all of them are at PUIs or community colleges.
Yeah, what an interesting concept. No wonder you won that award.
Well, you know, so one of the deals is I'm at a small rural school. And so we tend to recruit schools like that because they're in the same boat. And now, you know, we then recruit other faculty who work at minority serving schools. Hey, when I get an advice or need some help, someone needs help at a minority serving school in a city, I can't really give my ideas. But now I have friends at Kennedy King College, and I can be like, hey, look, why don't you go talk to Clifford? He knows about how to work this. So that's what's really neat about the collaborative group, is that we can all work together.
Well, I mean, you have done something that some people just wouldn't even be motivated to do. And I think that's the exciting thing of it, is that you had a missing piece. So you made the piece to go into that slot. And some people would just be like, well, we just can't offer that here.
I would agree with that. And I mean, my colleague, Lori Hensley, I can't, you know, express how much she's helped me in this as well, and others. But yes, I'm very proud of what we've done and what we've accomplished as a group, for mm-hmm. sure.
So what sort of metrics are you looking at? How do you measure your success? We mentioned published papers, but that's not necessarily the direction that you think is
no
perfect measure.
But one of my favorite with publications is we now have 5 publications that have acknowledged the CBC. And each publication has between 5 and 7 faculty authors. So if you work with us, we want to give everybody credit. I'm really proud of that. And I'm proud of the number of schools that keep coming back in working with us. I just turned in my annual report to NSF, so I got all these numbers in my head. But 750 students so far have been reported to use cell blocks by faculty who go back and do surveys with us. To me, that success is the faculty going on and students going on. We're now helping faculty at small schools get tenure and promotion. You know, how do you show that you can do research at a small school. It's so difficult. Well, now you're part of our group and now we can help you author these different videos and stuff like that, mm-hmm. which really becomes empowering. I keep talking. We've even supported two different RCN, other grants to be submitted to NSF.
And what does RCN stand for?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a research collaborative network. So technically mm-hmm. we're a research collaborative network for undergraduate biology education is the long name from NSF. Mm-hmm. And we're actually supporting our member faculty to go back and write their own grants.
Yeah, I mean, you really have just built an incredible network here. It's exciting. So, okay, so your NSF grant's going to run out in 2023. What happens next?
Yeah, that's a great question. I just sent my program officer an email asking that question. I don't know. We're going to apply for a no-cost extension so we can go for a couple more years. But now we got to figure out what to do next. We're sustainable in the sense that I have people sending videos without needing funding now. But to send students to meetings and those types of stuff were not sustainable. And so I would like to have one more year of fund or one more round of funding mm-hmm. to move forward.
Yeah. Or maybe industry, because you said that one video made it onto the company's website.
So that's one of the things we're working with individual schools, especially schools with biotech programs. They're using some of these things to approach industry for their personal funding.
Well, it sounds like you have just really built an amazing platform here. Is there anything else that you think people ought to know about the consortium or about you or about anything related to the Cell Biology Education Consortium?
Just that they're welcome to join. I will say if you watch our videos to subscribe, I sound like my daughter's, you know, YouTube blogger or whatever. But
like and subscribe.
we found we have about 11,000 to 12,000 views a year. And only about 5% of those viewers are subscribed members. And that really helps us report to NSF. And so everybody's success is our success when it comes to reporting. And so just let us know what you're doing and how you're using our content. Help us create content to move forward. And then always don't be afraid to engage students, right? Students are the key for all this.
Yeah, I'm always shocked. Every time I've ever spent any time interviewing students about the research or anything, I always come away inspired because their brains are just on fire.
Well, they're excited. I mean, that's the whole purpose of where I'm at and what I'm doing is to teach students. And so I'm not really a researcher, but I'm a teacher.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for talking to me about the Cell Biology Education Consortium.
Well, I appreciate it. This has been really fun. Thank you very much.
The Pathways Podcast is a production of the American Society for Cell Biology. Thanks for listening.